Chapter 12. A loud clatter of gunk music flooded through the Heart of Gold cabin as Zaphod searched the sub-ether radio wavebands for news of himself. The machine was rather difficult to operate. For years, radios had been operated by means of pressing buttons and turning dials. Then, as the technology became more sophisticated, the controls were made touch-sensitive. You merely had to brush the panels with your fingers. Now, all you had to do was wave your hand in the general direction of the components and hope. It saved a lot of muscular expenditure, of course, but meant that you had to sit infuriatingly still if you wanted to keep listening to the same program. Zaphod waved a hand and the channel switched again. More gunk music, but this time it was a background to a news announcement. And news reports brought to you here on the sub-ether waveband, broadcasting around the galaxy, around the clock, squawked a voice. And we'll be saying a big hello to all intelligent life forms everywhere. And to everyone else out there, the secret is to bang the rocks together, guys. And, of course, the big news story tonight is the sensational theft of the new Improbability Drive prototype ship by none other than Galactic President Zaphod Beeblebrox. And the question everyone's asking is, has the Big Z finally flipped? Beeblebrox, the man who invented the Pan-Galactic Gargle Blaster, ex-confidence trickster once described by Eccentrica Galumbitz as the best bang since the big one, and recently voted the worst-dressed sentient being in the known universe for the seventh time. Has he got an answer this time? We asked his private brain care specialist, Gag Halfront. Another voice broke in, presumably Halfront. He said, "Well, Zaphod's just this guy, you know," but got no further, because an electric pencil flew across the cabin and through the radio's on-off sensitive airspace. Zaphod turned and glared at Trillian. She had thrown the pencil. "Hey," he said, "what do you do that for?" Trillian was tapping her finger on a screen full of figures. "I've just thought of something," she said. "Yeah? Worth interrupting a news bulletin about me for?" "You hear enough about yourself as it is."
"I'm very insecure. We know that."
"Can we drop your ego for a moment? This is important."
"If there's anything more important than my ego around, I want it caught and shot now."
Zaphod glared at her again, then laughed. "Listen," she said. "We picked up those couple of guys."
"What couple of guys?"
"The couple of guys we picked up."
"Oh, yeah," said Zaphod, "those couple of guys."
"We picked them up in Sector ZZ9, Plural Z, Alpha. Does that mean anything to you?"
Said Zaphod. "ZZ9, Plural Z, Alpha. ZZ9, Plural Z, Alpha?
Well," said Trillian.
"What does the Z mean?" said Zaphod.
"Which one?"
"Anyone?"
One of the major difficulties Trillian experienced in her relationship with Zaphod was learning to distinguish between him pretending to be stupid just to get people off their guard, pretending to be stupid because he couldn't be bothered to think and wanted someone else to do it for him, pretending to be outrageously stupid to hide the fact that he actually didn't understand what was going on, and really being genuinely stupid. He was renowned for being amazingly clever, and quite clearly was so, but not all the time, which obviously worried him, hence the act. He preferred people to be puzzled rather than contemptuous. This, above all, appeared to Trillian to be genuinely stupid, but she could no longer be bothered to argue about it. She sighed and punched up a star map on the Visi screen so that she could make it simple for him, whatever his reasons for wanting it to be that way. "There," she pointed, "right there."
"Hey, yeah," said Zaphod.
"Well," she said.
"Well, what?"
"It's the same sector you originally picked me up in."
He looked at her and then looked back at the screen. "Hey, yeah," he said. "Now that is wild. We should have zapped straight into the middle of the Horsehead Nebula. How did we come to be there? I mean, that's nowhere." She ignored this. "Improbability drive," she said patiently. "You explained it to me yourself. We pass through every point in the universe. You know that."
"Yeah, but that's one wild coincidence, isn't it?"
"Yes. Picking someone up at that point, out of the whole of the universe to choose from, that's just too..." "I want to work this out. Computer!"